Hey guys, I'm Alex.
And I'm Drew.
And today on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast, we're taking a look at Far Sector by N.K. Jemisin and Jamal Campbell. Let's go. Sound right?
Might have been a little hot.
If your car speakers are no longer with us, then you're not listening to me right now. If they're still barely hanging on, we apologize if that was really loud. It didn't sound loud in my ears.
It's just the stereo out. It said it went up to 12.2 decibels.
Ooh, that's a spicy intro. Well, I guess we'll know whenever
we can always take it down. There, it just might have been a little bit gravelly on the export.
Yeah. Well, this is Two Man Behind the Scenes.
Yeah.
How the sausage is made. What's up, everybody? We're back. We're recording three episodes today. We're jacked up on comic books.
Yep.
And excited to make up for lost ground on Black History Month characters that we wanted to cover.
Yep.
Didn't want to skimp on that. So we're catching up today. This is the first Far Sector.
Hope you didn't mind the weirdness of the last episode, but we're back with the content you crave.
The stuff that you want in your bloodstream. Yes. First, what have y'all been up to? How's it goes it?
Yeah, it's good. I didn't watch the Super Bowl. I was in a recording studio for 12 hours instead.
Oh, I caught the back end of it. I remember you being there, though. You didn't miss much.
Okay.
Halftime was cool.
I don't even know who was playing.
Yeah, cool Doctor Strange trailer. Holy crap.
Oh, yeah, I did watch
Doctor
that after the
Strange
fact.
Trailer.
Wow.
I have a new theory also of who that possibly could be. Somebody upscaled that screen grab of what everybody thinks is superior Iron Man.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
Upscaled I saw it to 8K. That too. I now think it's a Kang variant
of
Iron Lad.
Yeah.
Which would be really cool as well, because we could all use a little more Jonathan Majors.
I feel like that makes more sense than Tom
Superior.
Cruise.
Yeah, definitely fits more. But we'll see what happens. If you have not seen the Doctor Strange trailer and don't know what we're talking about, go watch it.
Yeah,
it's cool.
I normally wait, but whenever Alex told me that it wasn't going to come out till May, I went ahead and watched it, and he was like, yeah, if they're dropping this in a teaser, what's going to happen? And I thought that the first thing that happened was the thing that he was talking about, and then the other thing happened.
Yeah.
And my jaw is still on the floor.
Yeah, it's back in Springdale right now.
Yep.
First off, before we get into Far Sector, which is a really cool book, what you been reading, yo?
Actually, before what you been reading, yo, I do want to say, just like always, we're potentially having electrical interference issues, and there is a storm rolling through. So I think there might be a storm rolling through. If there's any extra sounds, it's probably on our end, not yours.
It could be on yours.
Roll
it back on the
for
listener.
What I've been reading, yo, I read the first three books of the Civil War event.
Ah, very exciting.
Yeah.
If you caught last week's episode, you know that I'm going through and doing a Discord exclusive channel to where we are going to read some of the major Marvel events. I'm still looking for a classy name. Right now in first place is...
What about major Marvel events?
Major
Marvel events.
Yeah.
Would you just write it twice?
I guess so, yeah. You'd have
to. In capitals, then in italics.
Yeah. I think my first place favorite, however long it might be, is still, I've got 616 problems, but a Scarlet Witch ain't one. Shout out to the Jay-Z fans out there.
My recommendation was my 616 brings all the boys to the yard.
Yeah, also a close second. we'll see what it happens to be. But anyway, I'm going through and we're covering some of the more significant Marvel events that have happened in Marvel continuity, because those are... not impossible to cover on this podcast, but would require either we cover it for 3 months,
at least,
and or we get like the most surface level thing. So like Civil War discussion would be like, there was a war. And people,
did you hear that?
People
laugh?
Fought.
I don't know what that laugh was like.
Anyway, it's super cool. You have to join the Discord to be a part of this, though. We're going to go through. We're just doing... It's pretty easy. It's like 7 issues a week. I think it'll work out to be, at least for this first event. So that's one comic a day. Super easy to go down, and they're good comics too. Like, you'll get a good lay of the land, a kind of a wide scope of what the characters in the Marvel Universe was like in the Civil War era, which was not the actual Civil War, the in-continuity Civil War, 2005, 2006-ish era. Also, some just really cool moments. The Illuminati stuff is just so cool. There's an Illuminati book in this first run that I think everybody's really going to enjoy. Anything else on your reading?
Maybe some Doom Patrol.
Doom Patrol.
I can't even remember what was happening because all of the Grant Morrison things are just so strange.
Yeah.
I love them. So I'm just working my way through that.
Yeah.
Like one or two a night.
What about you, Tor? You been reading anything of note?
Nothing in particular, unfortunately. I've been bad.
That is okay. We still love you.
I've been trying to pick another novel to read because
stop that.
I feel like I want to read a novel. Mm-hmm. And I scrolled through Kindle, the store, for 30 minutes trying to find one that I could get on Prime Reading for free, and I couldn't find anything. So maybe one of these days I'll find another book to read.
Shoy. Well,
that's a fascinating intro.
What have you been reading, Alex? Oh, glad you should ask. I've been reading some of the Civil War. I actually got way further than everybody and then decided, I was like, I want to talk about this with the Discord people. So I'm going back, but I got like 20 issues in, I think. So it was a lot. I've also been reading a couple of the Marvel Unlimited Infinity comics in my spare time. Just like I've made the comment several times. It's such a cool idea that they have like not just webtoon comics, but like actual Marvel comics that are like in continuity and canon. So I've been trying to do that instead of Doom Scroll when I'm like standing in line somewhere. And I've also read a few of them before bed. I'm reading a really cool X-Men book with the Juggernaut and Deadpool, which is really funny. Deadpool's a pretty funny character in the comics. I've also been reading a little bit more Watchmen, trying to finally finish that novel. I've not finished it yet because I have to stop reading that when the lights go out. What else? There was something else. Oh, I pounded all of these comics last night. It was just like chugging comics. I read like 18 issues before I went to bed last night, which was a chore. Not a chore, but it was a lot. It was a lot to go through.
I did the reading at about like 2 o'clock after I was done with my business.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I'm just going to read this now. And it's a good thing because I realized that my iPad was at 13%. So I had to put it on the charger overnight so that I could actually use it today during recording.
Yeah. I think that's it. I'll save some stuff for when we have to record a few more episodes today.
Yep.
Cool. Anything else before we jump into Far Sector?
No.
Nope.
Cool. If you're listening, we're thankful.
Yes.
We got 107 episodes under our belt. Have you listened to all of them? If you are, your name's probably Shane. but thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. And if you've enjoyed what you've been hearing, a huge thing you could do would be to jump over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review.
Yes.
It's been a while since we've gotten one of those. I think I may have been the last one to give us a review. Also, if you enjoy what we do and would like us to improve upon it, an awesome way to help us with that would be to contribute to our Patreon, patreon.com/twomancomicbookclub, or is it twomancomicbookclub.com/patreon.com?
You can find it on our links below, I'm sure.
Or down in the doobly-doo. Reach out to us on the Twitter or the Instagrams or the Facebooks, twomancomicbook. With a number 2 on Twitter, Two Man Comic Book Club, with once again the number 2 elsewhere. And best of all, well, not best of all, but one of the things that we've been really enjoying is our Discord. Mm-hmm. So click on the link down in the show notes. Join our Discord, talk about comics, participate in the Civil War read along.
Yes.
All that fun stuff.
You can find me at Alex Wayne Miller on all social media. Drew, where can they find you?
You find out anything you would need to know about me through my website, drewmorrismusic.com.
I forgot to let everybody know that I'm Batman.
Oh, yeah. And
I'm Batman.
You're Batman. Torrance?
I'm actually starting, I'm on a podcast called Two Man Comic Book Club that you can check out.
Yeah, I will absolutely do that.
I might.
Yeah, you'll think about
I'll think about it.
We'll also go ahead and give our spicy warning for this comic book. This is rated ages 17 plus.
Yeah.
And it's pretty spicy.
I mean, in comparison to many other books I've read recently, I wouldn't call it that spicy, but for some,
this will be hotter than you want to go.
Yeah.
But it is very good. I will also say that we're super happy that if you're listening to this, then hopeful that you are trying to view some of these stories told by, like, especially the ones that are by the Black writers and their experiences and how they portray those through this medium. There's a lot of stuff in here that will be possibly challenging for some of you to hear, but I would encourage you to listen anyway, because it's good to hear challenging things and acknowledge reality, especially when it comes to things of race and things that have actually happened in real life and that people actually still unfortunately experience today. So listen to these things, take them in, think before becoming a keyboard warrior, as we all should, and just take it in. It's not just like these are all completely dripping in controversial stuff that you would just swipe through on social media, but they do not shy away from the topics of race. That's one of the reasons we picked them. So with all that said, let's jump into Far Sector number one by, what's the name? There it is, N.K. Jemisin and Jamal Campbell.
Jamal Campbell.
Yes.
Before we do this, I might just go off the dome, try to give you a quick 60-second catch-up on the concept of
Green Lanterns.
If you're listening on the podcast, that weirdness was me trying to show my shirt to the camera, which is a Green Lantern shirt that I bought one time whenever I went to Fayetteville, and something had happened on the drive, and the shirt that I was wearing somehow got stretched out in the back, and the back part of my t-shirt, which is just a random shirt I had, was like 6 inches longer than the front side. And I felt silly as I was walking around, and Holly was like, yeah, you look weird. So we went to Kohl's, and I bought a t-shirt so that I could wear it, and it was this Green Lantern shirt.
Nice.
Always been a Green Lantern fan. Anyway, what are the Green Lanterns? Basically, the peacekeepers of the universe. Each sector of the universe, that's right there in the
name.
There's
like a whole core, right?
The Green Lantern core. They're all, they wield these rings of power that allow them to create things purely based on their will. So if they're sitting there like, man, I need to take down these bad dudes, something that would really help would be a rifle. Yeah. So they can create a spectral rifle out of green energy and their will. They can use shields. They can use it to make themselves fly, all these things. But anyway, they have them, and they're supposed to be charged using this big lantern that they have from time to time. But yeah, there's like a lantern in each sector. On Earth, we've had like Hal Jordan, John Stewart, Guy Gardner, and Kyle Rayner. But anyway, so something has happened recently. I should have looked this up before we started, but I think something has gone down recently in the Lantern world. Mm. But we're going to learn some things about this particular Green Lantern as we go, and I'm not going to spoil it now, but basically, yeah, it's like they're just, peacekeepers, and this group called the Guardians, these little blue people, kind of are their bosses to a certain extent.
Kind of assign them to their sector. So they're like,
hey, we've got a dispute in Sector 14. So Sector 14's person, go and check that out. Sometimes they'll team up, but it's kind of like just because they see something going down, they don't necessarily have the right to intervene, though some do anyway.
Right.
Am I missing anything else? There are multiple colors of rings. There's like a whole core. Yellow Lantern, Red Lantern.
It's all Roy G. Biv, infrared, right?
Red,
white,
ultraviolet. There's all kinds of stuff. I have like next to none, hardly any info about anything other than the Green Lanterns that showed up on Earth.
Yeah, I've also noticed over time, like my buddy Chris is a big Green Lantern fan. All these rings and the different, it's not completely undifferent, unsimilar. From like Infinity Stones, though maybe not quite as powerful, like the rings and their ability to do a bunch of stuff. And like, I'm sure in the comics there have been several instances where, oh, this character got a Green Lantern ring and now this thing is cool. So it's there's just like kind of a cool lore behind that item as well, I think, in the DC universe. Like, yeah. Are they just called Green Lantern rings, or do they have a specific
power ring?
Power ring. Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure. Yeah. This was the second Green Lantern comic that I've read.
Yeah.
I was sort of the one that Rodney got me for Christmas.
Like,
so.
I read the Kyle Rayner debut issues when they were coming out.
Is it Blackest Night?
Yeah, Darkest Night. Blackest Night.
Like the popular.
She finally says it at the very end.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. Darkest Night. Yeah. No.
Well, there's like a run called like Blackest Night or Darkest Night.
Yeah, there is. There is.
It's pretty popular. If you like Green Lantern and you have one you want to check out, let us know.
I do. If you ever want to see Hal Jordan go off the rails, you should check out Emerald. Something.
Emerald something. We are comic fans.
It's the one that happened right after Death of Superman. I read it and it changed my understanding of Hal Jordan. Cool. Anyway, it was good. And that's what happens right before Kyle Rayner gets his ring.
Right.
Anyway.
You want to take Portlandia. Us through issue one of Far Sector?
Yeah. So I'm just going from my notes here. Excuse me.
I'll show you. Also, Jamal Campbell, if you've been with us for a while, did the art on Naomi.
Yep.
And did the art here. I love this art. It's just, this is and it's chef's kiss.
Jamal is the artist. Like,
yes, he did everything.
Did the lines, the inking, the colors, because I'm sure it's all digital.
Sure. Yeah. No, it's great.
All right. So basically, as the name implies, we are out in one of the farthest off sectors of the universe. And I'll get back to her in just a second. Let me tell you where we are first. Where the book kind of opens up. Each book opens up with like a different quote or something. This one, the book one, opens up with a quote from Things Fall Apart by Chinua Achebe. We also get at one point Miles Davis, at one point Nina Simone, like different prominent quotes that kind of have something to do with it. And then there was one from George Carlin. So, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we open up and we see this, what looks like a Dyson sphere. Would that be the right name for it? I mean, it's like there's a sun in the middle and then these giant panels around, and that's kind of like where the city exists.
Yes, if you're talking about just like where we are.
Yeah.
That's not exactly what we start on, but yes.
Well, yeah, I just want to talk about it first. I'm going to not be going super linear with this just because as I was taking notes, I wasn't being linear with it.
It's fine.
Anyway, we're in this city that we learn is called the City of Enduring. And basically, this place does not have emotions.
Yeah.
And just the quick, let me give you the buzz, the quick hook, and then I'll come back around to it. Basically, there's no emotions, and they just had the first murder that they've had in like 500 years.
Mm-hmm.
So they call in a lantern to act as kind of the arbiter of justice and figure out what's going on. And this particular lantern does have emotions and chooses to keep them. I'll tell you more about her in a second. But yeah, they wanted a fresh perspective from somebody with emotions to help get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're in this, it's not a world. It's more like an assemblage of worlds.
Yeah.
So, now let me go back and talk a little bit about our new lantern, the newest lantern on the block. Her name is Sojourner Mullane, goes by Joe, kind of the tip of the hat to Sojourner. What was her name? Oh, it was a very prominent, like black woman in during the times of slavery and abolition, whatever
Truth.
It was. Sojourner Truth, yes. That was like a tip of the hat to that big time. But she goes by Joe. So what I'm about to tell you is slowly revealed over the course of the first five or six issues. Mm-hmm. But I want to give you her background because we don't learn anything really about her other than just flashes for the longest time. But basically, she was growing up, she was pretty smart. She went to Princeton.
Yeah, she's from Earth.
And then, she's from Earth. And she got headhunted basically to go and be in the Army. And she did that afterwards. And after she spent some time there, she came back home and was a police officer. And one day she and her partner were doing something, and she witnessed her partner just totally abuse his authority.
Yes.
And like hurt somebody. I think they hurt a black person and just like did not, you know, just wanted it tossed under the rug. So yeah. Joe reported this action to her superior officer, and she got fired for it.
Yes. And for breaking. Well, she got fired because her friend tagged her in a Black Lives Matter post on social media.
That's right. Yeah.
And it wasn't her post or anything. Her friend just tagged her in it, and they fired her for that. Yes. As a secondhand, they were looking for a reason after told on her her partner. And then also it should be noted that she carries this weight with her through this entire series of she didn't do anything in the moment to stop guy from killing somebody. So important little plot device.
So anyway, this is also a thing we don't learn for far into it, but kind of in a low point, she's like in a bar after she's been fired, all this stuff. And she's kind of drunk, and this woman approaches her and asks her essentially, would she like to go make a difference somewhere?
Right.
And this is whenever we realize that this woman was actually one of the guardians in disguise. Boom, she's got a Green Lantern ring. But one of the things about it, they kind of tell her when they give it to her. And once again, this is not in the beginning. This is far in. Mm-hmm. This isn't your normal ring, like the ones I was telling you about in the 60-second catch-up. Right. This ring doesn't have to be recharged. Mm-hmm. It recharges itself, but it's not quite as powerful. And it takes time. So like if she were to like just need a ton of force, it might take the thing 5 days or something to recharge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's something weird about this ring, and they basically give it to her and say, we're going to give this to you, and you have 1 year to make your mark, to make a difference. And we're going to send you out to the city Enduring to act as this. So like I said, that all is kind of divulged bit by bit, but it just makes things easier to talk about it all in one go. So, Joe, Sojourner Mullen, she's there. And I watched this live stream. It wasn't actually yesterday, but they were talking about this. And they made a comment that she's easily the best looking in terms of her fashion for her uniform of any Green Lantern we've ever seen.
She just looks super cool.
And like the point that she actually uses partitions off part of the energy of this ring to keep herself looking really fly.
Yeah.
You know,
like she has some chic raincoats.
Looks really
and, like,
good.
Hats and stuff like that. Yeah. She just looks awesome. Like the whole time I was reading, I was like, dang, she just looks cool.
Yeah.
Like I want to
if I saw her, I'd know she was too cool to talk to me.
Yeah. I was like, it's okay. You don't have to talk to us. We have a comic book podcast.
So anyway, I have it right here in my notes, so I'm going to mention it before we really dig into it. I do have to kind of agree with what Alex said earlier. Jamal Campbell's art is stunning throughout this whole thing. I read it digitally, so the colors are super vibrant. I did see a guy who was like showing the first trade paperback collection of this, and the matte pages that it was on may not have done it justice. So, yeah, you want to see this in high quality. I said high quality H2O. On a high quality screen or printed rip very nicely. All right, moving on. One of the things that kind of sets the tone for me reading this and thinking, okay, there's going to be something to this. Maybe we should consider reading this on Black History Month, was one of the first things that she says once we get to know her. And she makes a comment. She's like, yep, I'm here to help, but I'm the one that's causing trouble just by existing.
Yeah.
Just by being a little bit different, you know, than the people around me. And basically it alludes to the fact that this is nothing new to her.
Right.
She's used to being looked down upon merely for taking up space. And I'm just like, man, that's tough. I mean,
sure.
I don't know what to say about that, but I was just, from the moment I read it, I was just like, okay, I need to take my time with this book. All right. So now let me get back, now that we've given you a background on our main character, Joe, let me tell you a little bit more about the history of this world, this city of Enduring. So we learn eventually that this was actually, in its infancy, two different worlds, but with three different people. There's three humans.
Three different species.
Alien races. That lived together basically mostly peacefully until an outside source came in and started kind of dividing and conquering, trying to get them to work against each other so that they could eventually take over. But these three races essentially decided not to. And they once again worked together they rebuilt this city, or not rebuilt it, but they built the city Enduring essentially on the ashes of their two worlds.
Yeah. So I will say real quick, the three species are the Na, which are very human looking. And they have like maybe like elf and slight, like almost
dreads and wings,
dragon like features, but they look pretty human. Then the AT-ATs, Star Wars fans are probably like, hey, you stole our character's name.
It's actually with the
it's like
sign.
An ampersand and then AT or an ampersand.
At sign.
At sign, yeah, not an ampersand. They look like pink alien type things. And then they have the Ketopli. I'm not sure how you pronounce that. But they're actually a plant species who have a overwhelming urge to eat flesh.
I like to think of them as plant pyres.
Plant pyres, vampires, yes. It's the same kind of thing. They have it under control and check, but we kind of learn pretty quickly on that. They're the number one suspect for this murder that opens up on the very first page of the comic.
Why would they be the first things?
I don't know. They're hungry. They're hungry, man.
No, I was just going to say, because the victim was eaten.
Sure.
Partially eaten. So let's look at this. Is it going to be these AI-based creatures who don't, you know, always have a physical manifestation?
Right.
Is it going to be
the Na?
The Na, which, you know... They have a certain, like, not in the face. In the face, they look very human. Mm-hmm. But in the body, they seem very, like, kind of have, you know, like you said, dragon, wings.
Yeah, they have wings,
tails,
and a tail.
All this stuff, and a ton of fingers on their hands.
Right.
But yeah, so it's obvious. It's probably somebody who is known in their history for eating people. Though it's funny, they don't necessarily eat people because they're hungry. They eat people because they're lonely. And they're very kind about it. It's like there was a sketch on the IT Crowd where... Moss goes to this guy's house thinking that he's going to learn how to do like German cooking, but the actuality is it's a cannibal who wants to eat Moss.
Yeah.
But he's really nice about it. And he's like, "Is it can I eat you now?" So it's the same, you know, they view it as an honor, you know, to
it's
join
like
they're
you. Taking your soul and merging it with their own. It is a big deal to their species.
So the Na have like really long poetic names. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like if you ever watch The Next Generation, there's this scene or there's this movie where Jean-Luc Picard ends up on the planet with the people who speak in poetry, like when the walls fell, you know, Jahad and Jakad. I can't remember the thing, but it's similar. It gives me that vibe. Like one of the main characters we learn is Marth of the Sea by the Wavering Door until the suns fall. Like until the sun falls. That's his whole name.
Yeah, we'll just call him Marth. He is definitely a relevant character throughout this.
Another interesting thing about the AT-AT is we learn eventually that they trade in memes, which I think is funny. They're a digital species.
Yeah,
so
they hit all the hot cryptocurrency.
I mean,
with
one of them we learn is named Ican Haz.
Yes,
like that's her name.
Right.
So
they just call her Ican Haz.
Yeah, and they talk a lot about cat memes. I'm like, oh, I love the ones that have cats in them. And at one point, I think Joe presents them with a new like a Shiba Inu type meme, and they're like, this is gonna change the world. A Doge cat, or the Doge.
Yeah,
whatever. So that's kind of a background on those three people. So whenever Joe meets what's going on, you know, sees the dead body, she just instantly assumes, okay, this isn't a one-off. You know, it was the first time in 500 years, but something doesn't feel right. How do we stop the next one? Like instead of instantly trying to figure out who's doing it, that's her first gut. And it's just like, how do we stop the next one? Have we talked about very much about the emotion exploit yet? I can't remember if we've talked about it or just
very little.
That was before we hit record.
Let's just decide like the pace we should do. I mean, we could quickly just say like everybody has their emotions in check because they're born with an emotion exploit, right?
Yeah. They whenever they came together as the city Enduring, they as a society, all three species decided that the best way to do it would be to like, let's just kill our emotions.
Right.
And that way we're not going to get hot under the collar. And it's worked for them for hundreds of years.
Yeah. But as you can imagine, there have been those that maybe want to break away from that. And there's this new drug out called the
Switch Off,
which temporarily gets rid of the thing inhibiting your emotions, which lets you feel emotions. And that's, as you imagine, become sort of a crux of debate for this whole thing of people, do they have the right to feel emotion or not?
Yeah. And so I'm jumping several steps here. There's a whole lot of nuance in this book. Like,
you should read this and not rely on us to tell you every little thing.
We're telling you the hit points, but like not the not necessarily the things that made me realize this was going to be a significant book.
Yeah.
Like, we really truly feel like this is worth your attention. Mm-hmm. If you can find it in a trade paperback, if you can subscribe to DC Universe Infinite, whatever, find a way to read it. But anyway, the killings continue and we learn more.
Yes.
I don't want to give away much more about that, because if you're intrigued by the whodunit aspect, like, we're not going to tell you the whole story of this.
Yeah.
We're going to go about halfway, try to give you the wet your whistle about it, make you want to do it, and make you want to read it, and just tell you it's a significant book. There's so many people who like have loved this, been like, this is the best Green Lantern book we've had in a generation, you know, type of a feeling. So an important thing, like the way that things develop, which this was the part that really made me stop and take my time, is that we learned that essentially, like Alex said, there are people who feel like the switch off is their right.
Yes.
It's not like, so in a very impactful scene, like, Joe's in the middle of something, whatever, she's at home, and she gets called to act as crowd control.
Yeah.
And she's like, why do you need a Green Lantern for crowd control? And then it shows there's essentially a protest happening between the pro switch off and the anti switch off people. And it's all three races are in there. It's not like anything, but it's just like they're coming to a head. And there's like, I think she even throws around like there's hundreds of thousands.
Yes, it's here. I mean, a massive population.
Because we didn't say anything about this the city enduring. It's got like
20 billion.
2,100. It was many, many, many billions.
Yeah.
So anyway, Joe comes in and she kind of stops where the people who are the like peacekeepers that are there. She's like, why do you need me for crowd control? And she's like, because this is going to get dangerous. So, and they like basically tell her like, yeah, we need you to stop this. And she jumps down between them and she like throws up these Green Lantern barriers.
Yes.
And I like it because they have like peace signs and flowers all over them. And she's like, what is going on here? And it looks like it was ripped right out of the headlines, because this was being released basically in the summer of 2020.
Right.
And I was just like, you know, N.K. Jemisin and Jamal Campbell could have pulled their punches, but they chose not to.
Right.
And I'm glad they didn't. But she steps down in front and, you know, the anti-people are calling the pro-people monsters. The pro-people are calling the anti-people monsters. And she essentially, she stops and she like talks to him as a person. It's like, no, okay, stop. I'll get to you in a second. What do you want?
Right.
And like, you can tell that the people that are behind the barrier are kind of like, wait, she's actually going to listen to us?
Right.
And so anyway, she stops and she tries to get demands from both sides. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I promise you, I will give this to the Trilogy, which is the name for like the ruling council.
Their council,
of the. Of, I jumped right over that. Sorry. But before she's able to do anything, shots fire out and like just pandemonium.
Yeah, they kind of wonder that she had a few minutes to get this under control. And if she wouldn't, they were going to kill everybody, which she had a problem with, which absolutely is one of the like the hot points that parallels real life, right? I mean, there's plenty of people who are rightfully upset that so many law enforcement have seemed to be okay with jumping the gun and resorting to death and violence before
shoot
anything
first,
else.
Ask questions later.
Sure. So there's absolute parallels here.
Yeah, and like she tries to hold up her barrier. She flies off. She confronts the people. She's like, "What did you use me for? You told me to go down and do this, and you didn't let me do my job." And we end up finding out like 12 people got killed and like 30 something were injured. And she's just like, you didn't even give me a chance.
Yeah. This also gives her a chance. She like shuts she shuts it down before more people do. And we see like her first like real raw execution of her powers. Like she shuts it down quick. And it gives the enemy, not the enemy, the people of the earth, what's it called again?
The City Enduring.
City Enduring. The names gave me, that's the one thing that gave me trouble the whole time. Because, the names of the characters, it's just weird.
Has no history in the DC universe at this point. Like these are all, with the exception of Joe being a human being and a Green Lantern, the three new cultures species, that we've met have
places.
Never existed. Yeah. So yeah, everything's different.
Forgetting all
the
names.
Hard to follow.
Anyway, they catch readings of her power while she's doing this. And they're like, hey, we have records of some other Green Lanterns that we've seen before. And they kind of name drop some of the Earth ones that we've seen. And they're like, she might be more powerful than all of them. But it's different. Like the signature's different. And that's where we get to the information about Drew saying that her ring is constructed and that it recharges itself very slowly. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't need to be recharged by a lantern, but it doesn't, you know, there's going to be a point where she might literally have nothing to fight back with.
So in the, I'm pretty sure that the issue that we were currently on ends with a big stalemate, but we eventually come back and some people have made like a sign with a lantern on it.
This sign.
Yes.
To get her attention. She flies down. There is something. Joe has a problem with totally mastering her ring. Like there's so many times where she's like, I'm a Green Lantern and I don't even feel comfortable flying. Like she makes a few points. It's kind of her constant battle. Like, why can't I fly? And she like tries to get herself.
Yeah. I think there's a parallel here that I at least kind of interpolated from this is just that there is an unspoken power in a lot of people and they may not fully be aware of what they're actually able and capable of doing with it, or they might be scared to do something with it. You know, it kind of goes back to real life when there's, I'm sure we've all been in situations that were uncomfortable and we thought, man, I wish that I were brave enough to say something in the moment, let alone like actually interfere with conflict. It's hard, right? Like everybody's a keyboard warrior and can get behind on the internet and say whatever they want. But in the moment, in real life, when it's happening right next to you, are you strong enough, even if you have the ability to use the ability? And I feel like that was a theme they kind of put in here.
So I'm going to wrap up one more big thing and maybe give a quick like 30-second tell about what happens next and then give a wrap-up on this unless you have anything else you want to say.
No, I think this is an important one for people to read.
This isn't one we wanted to cover in its entirety.
Yeah.
We want to tell you it's good. It's well-constructed. It's worth your time. So anyway, Joe goes down to see the people who have the Green Lantern sign, and we learn it is the wife of our first murder victim.
Yes.
And she is actually the one who coordinated this whole protest thing. And at first it sounds like she is pro switch off because she's like, yeah, the switch off is the reason that my husband died. And Joe's like, you mean that's why you got this? Anti switch off.
Yes.
It sounds like she's anti switch off. And she's like, so you don't want people to do this? And she's like, no, you misunderstand me. I feel like the only reason my husband died is because the murderer wasn't able to control her emotions. And if everybody had access to switch off, we would all eventually level out and be like we're supposed to be. And it feels like kind of a semi wrap up at some point, but then it keeps going because we're like halfway through the story there. And there's so much that happens, so much nuance.
We kind of skipped over the whole whodunit thing. Like she's not just ignoring this murder. She's investigating, but again, we want you to read this one. So,
a whole lot happens. I'm just going to kind of give you some quick headlines while being as unspoilery yet provocative. That's not the right word. Provocative is... So
posthumously.
Inside jokes.
Yeah.
So a whole lot happens in the rest, such as an underground meme-making prison, a trip through the Matrix complete with a Trinity cosplay, political coups, space battles, a whole lot of just following orders and then at the end of 12 issues, we basically have the story wrapped. I don't know if there's any future for this character. I hope there is. I've heard both. I've heard there are people who say that the Young Animals imprint, which is what this is printed on.
Which is different than DC Black Label.
Yes, it is. DC Young Animals is kind of where they want to give young up and coming creators a chance to do something significant. I think so. I've heard both it's canon. I've heard it's not. I don't know what to tell you.
It's awesome.
I don't see any reason why it couldn't be canon.
Yeah, I would absolutely read more Joe as a Green Lantern. Like this is, especially this team, if they want to keep doing it or
yeah.
I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe they're like, here's my project. It's one and done.
But it's really a solid story. There's so much. I feel like it's really worth reading. And Alex kind of already, I had some stuff written out, but you already basically covered the things I was going to say. I just think if you're the sort of person who doesn't feel like there are actual problems with social injustice in the world and you go in reading this, you may not care for it.
Yeah.
But I think that's the exact reason you should. Read it with an open mind, an open heart. And, you know, it's like if all you do is read comics and stories and talk to people that reaffirm your own thoughts, then you're never going to grow.
You're just in a confirmation bias bubble never going to grow as a person.
I felt like this book, like I had to stop and almost cry a few times as I was reading, just thinking about how horrible of a history we have as a human people. And like they talk about it right in here.
Yeah.
And it's like the perspective of two people who, you know, I've had amazing Black friends as I've been growing up, you know, and I love that. But there's so many people who maybe haven't and don't want to take a second to view things from somebody else's viewpoint.
Yeah.
And I think 12 issues might give you a little insight into something if you've never thought about that before. So please, this one, you know, that's part of the reason we chose to highlight these books this month. So like read it with an open mind. And like I said, an open heart. It's a good story.
You'll get something out of it. It's great. I can't recommend this enough. I'm only 6 issues in myself. Drew was going to give more away and I asked him not to, because I care to actually, I'll finish this probably really soon. Read this one, check it out. Let's talk about it in the Discord. This is a cool one. I'm only 6 issues in, like I said, and I think this is going to end up in like my top 10.
Unfortunately, this is the only one this week that we're going to talk about that is DC, which makes it a little bit harder for some people to find. I think there might only be one other person that is, at least on the Discord, that has access to DC Universe. So you might have to go and find.
If you listen to this podcast, like if you're here, episode 107, you like comic books.
Yeah.
Cool. Read a couple. It's so easy. Like they read themselves. Just jump in there, start swiping. The art's great. The stories are great. If you were at all interested in buying, or if you buy comic books already and you don't have these, you read 2 comic books a month and it pays for itself.
Yeah.
It's great. Can't recommend enough. Anything. Tori, I know you didn't get to read this one, but do you have any thoughts based on our light spoilering of the first 6 issues?
That's something that I really want to read now. I really didn't have any knowledge going into this
at all. Drew mentioned it weeks ago on the podcast, like that he was reading it, and he just said something like Green Lantern on the far reaches of space, and she's the only one that has emotions on the whole planet. Yeah. I was like, sold. You know, that alone. Little did I know that it's much more than even that.
Yeah.
Like it's like, so good.
Like seriously, as soon as I was reading it, I had to go, like once we got to the ones that were talking about the protests, I went back and I looked, and it was released like the month after I think George Floyd had his thing. And I was just like,
yeah. Which means they were probably writing it before
were,
but the timing is.
This has been a problem for far longer than anybody thinks. So I'm just like, I'm glad that they had the guts to go ahead and release it as was and didn't pull their punches, like I said.
For sure. Awesome. We'll take a quick break and then do some trivia and we'll be right back.
I don't know why I saluted.
And we're back with our lightning round trivia where our questions are faster than Joe figured out that she could actually fly with her ring if she believed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, there were so many things going on. She was like, it's really easy to fly whenever my mind is preoccupied with 1,000 other things.
Right. She's like, just thinking about it.
It's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
I've heard that about flying. Yeah. It's like riding a bike.
Tricksy. I haven't learned it yet.
You know the trick to flying?
Google Flights?
No. You throw yourself at the ground and miss.
Ooh.
That's from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Nice.
There's a whole section where Arthur Dent like learns to fly, and he's just flying around because he learned how to throw himself at the ground and misses.
Wow.
Yeah. I need to reread that.
Ground's pretty big. the entirety of Ground. Cool. I'll go first. I've got one that is related to Green Lantern-ish stuff. Batman has worn a Green Lantern ring several times. Yeah. He's worn several different colors. One of them is notable because it instills fear in people. And Batman already instills fear in people. So when he puts this color ring on, it's like, you know, the boogeyman. Okay. Well, Drew knows the answer. It is
yellow.
That is correct. Yes. So Batman has worn several rings. He's worn the green, the yellow, the white, and I believe the black one as well. He's worn them several times. But the yellow one was of note. Just, I imagine, I mean, if Batman was after me, I'm already scared. If Bruce Wayne is after me, I'm already scared. Not in costume.
Can I be real?
Yeah.
If anybody's after me, I'm scared.
Yeah. I'm not that scared, but.
A tiny little Pomeranian.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, then for you, sir.
I'm going to go this way. My original question was going to be, do you know the name of the first Green Lantern? But let's just say, I mean, this is a one and done trivia. I'm having an intense deja vu. I've lived this moment before. And this part where I'm talking about it. Anyway, mine's a two-parter slash seven-parter or whatever. Do you know the name of the first Lantern? And then how many Lanterns can you name?
I don't know the name of the first Lantern. I can guess.
Okay.
Is it an alien name?
No. Well, oh, sorry. The first Lantern is in regards to DC Comics, not necessarily canonically.
Okay.
The first one that we were introduced to as human beings.
Was it Hal Jordan? I'm just guessing.
No.
Okay.
It looks like he was the second.
Okay. Who was the first?
Oh. I'm just looking at the Wikipedia page.
Yeah.
And it made it look like the first character, the first Green Lantern, was named after its creator. And I was like, that's hilarious. Right. And then I realized, no, they're just telling us Alan Scott was the name of the first one.
Okay.
He was created by Martin Noddle and Bill Finger. But it just is just like created by Alan Scott. And I was like, that's hilarious. So you named Hal Jordan.
Yes. You know, Jonathan Stewart.
Yeah.
Guy Gardner.
Yep. I said one other one so far.
Sojourner Truth.
Yeah, yes, yes. Sojourner Mullane.
Mullane, yeah. Yes. What is...
The one that I mentioned, the one that got me into Green Lantern. The graphic designer.
Yes, Kyle Rayner.
Kyle Rayner.
Yeah, that's and all I know for sure.
This has two more listed.
Uh-huh. Ryan Reynolds.
Yes. Yes. Now, we've got... We also have... Remember Kilowog?
He
wasn't human, but we also had, what was his name? I almost said Jim Snidero. Sinestro.
Oh, yeah. He's with a different core, right?
Yeah, he was a Green Lantern.
It's a lantern, you should say. There's so many. It's like the Nova Corps in Marvel. Yeah. There's a bunch of different Nova.
Well, there's two more that are listed here that are from Earth. These are pretty new ones. Yeah. Simon Baz.
I thought
it was Simone Baz. And Jessica Cruz.
Okay, cool.
So the only ones I've ever read actually in comics on purpose were Joe, Hal, and Kyle. So
there's a cool cameo of Guy Gardner in one of the recent issues of Human Target. Yeah. He's in an issue.
John Stewart actually makes a cameo in this, but in like Funko Pop form.
Nice. Oh, yeah. I was talking about it's a funny moment when he appears up.
Yeah.
Cool. Anything else?
No, it's good. I will say, I meant to mention this a lot sooner in the show, but I'm kind as the resident DC fan, if you had to put them one or the other, I say that DC is my fan. It was hard to find something to cover for Black History Month in DC, and I'm bothered by that. Like, there are some runs of Black Lightning, and I could have gone with those, but those are
Cyborg.
Yeah, and Cyborg has had like one run, maybe two. There's Static Shock. There's so many that were launched on like not truly the main imprint of DC. It's just like Cyborg might be one of the only ones that was printed on that. And I'm just like, we've been around since the 30s.
Right.
And why is it so much easier to find representation in the Marvel platform than there is in DC.
The hard thing about the Marvel one was we couldn't pick. We had so many
options to pick from. Yeah.
that we were like, dang, are we really going to not cover this? Because yeah. I mean, like, I guess so. Yeah.
Because I tried to read some static to cover that. And I was just like, I don't think this is, I mean, it's probably good once you get into it, but sure. I was just like, compared to Far Sector, it's no contest.
Yeah.
So, if you happen to be listening and you're a DC fan, what did we miss?
Yeah.
I'd love to know.
We want to read them. Like, not for calling out DC, but like, let us know if they're out there because we haven't found them.
Because, I mean, I Googled it. I was just like, best runs about black characters in DC. And it's hard. Now there's some new, like, it's kind of, they're better recently.
Well, sure. We've covered Naomi.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, and it probably like defaults to some Green Lantern and I think Hal Jordan.
Anyway, John Stewart.
John Stewart. Yeah. Right.
So I just wanted to bring that up. Like, I'm kind of bummed that there's not more. I mean, and it's not that there aren't black characters. They're just not like the leads of their own runs, it seems like. And we wanted to find those.
We want to see some Mo.
Yeah. So that's all I got to say about that. We'll be back. Do you want to tell them what we're going to cover in the next episode?
Yes. We haven't actually decided what order, but we're doing a Ironheart with Riri Williams from Marvel.
I think that's 2018.
Yes. And then also we're covering Red, White, and Black. From Marvel as well, which is the story of Isaiah Bradley, the black super soldiers from the World War II era. And if you've seen Falcon and the Winter Soldier, he is in that show.
This is from 2003, by the way.
It came
long
out
before the MCU ever.
Quite a while ago. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And it also, everything we've covered or will cover this month, it will be the most in it. I'll say that much as far as like, we're going to talk about race. So don't let that scare you away. Don't do that.
Hey, before we leave, do you want to do it? Extra bonus round of trivia?
Yes.
Because I have it pulled up right now.
Yeah.
Torrance, you can guess too. What year do you think Green Lantern made their debut?
Obviously, it was 1962.
No.
Dang it.
Torrance, you have a guess?
1962.
That's still no, it's 1940.
Oh wow. I thought if I said obviously before, you would question your answer. Yeah, and well, go, I mean, I'm well, just looking
at,
know something.
At this All-American Comics number 16, July 1940. So yeah, anyway, so this was your triple round. I don't even know who won the trivia. It doesn't matter. I don't want to think about it.
Yep. We'll see y'all next time. This was a lot of fun. Bye.
I was trying to think of...
Oh, wait, we got to do the outro music and everything.
Yeah, I was trying to think of a quote from the show or from the book that I could say.
The one from Nina Simone is really cool. Oh, also, just as we're playing some intro music out of here, there were some super cool little like one-shot references to black characters in movies. Did you catch the Independence Day one? From Will Smith? Hold on, let me pull this up. This is a...
I did not...
This was super cool, and I was like, oh, I've recognized that scene.
There were a few things that I caught throughout.
Let's see.
Oh, and there was one from Alien. She
was
in like the big yellow thing, but it was green because it was...
okay, it's
they
not
used the first
three.
Page as a lot of like fun like winks to things.
Stop it. Yeah, right here. Do you recognize this scene? So Independence Day, Will Smith crash landing after the first flight with the thing. He's in the desert. There's another alien ship. Mm-hmm. He walks over to it. He rips open the thing and he's just staring and there's like tentacles flopping around and then it like comes out of him and he just punches it.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome. Yeah. That's right here. Opens it up.
Oh.
The facial expressions and everything sing and then she just
welcome to
the
Far Sector.
Nice. Welcome to the Far Sector. Yeah. there was that and then there was a Matrix one.
Yeah.
And we actually being Morpheus in the Matrix and the white void with the chair.
And that's the one where one of the AI, the AT-ATs, actually turns herself to look like Trinity and the thing with the glasses and everything.
Yeah.
It was interesting. Anyway, go check it out. Read this book if you need to find it in graphic form or graphic novel form, or subscribe to DC Universe for 1 month so that you can read it.
Yeah, it's worth it. We'll see you next time on the Two Man Comic Book Club podcast. Bye. Two Man Comic Book Club podcast is hosted by Alex Miller and Drew Morris. Our graphic and logo work is done by Tessa Price, and our original compositions and theme music were composed by Drew Morris.
Yes, I meant to type Green Lantern.